My first reading is about learning to read again. The second is a short one, is from a prompt in the Stafford Craft Workshop on Wednesday. Nerves connect them. Neural networks connect us. 1993. A book lies open. Two columns of text line each page. From before the accident, I know what this layout means. Start at the top left and read down. Then move up and over to the next column. Twice now, without success, I've tried it. The second time, even more slowly, reading every word. But while I'm focusing on each new line, the ones above fade too much from the edges of my sight. The words aren't gone, more smudged, beyond recognition. No longer crisp and clear. It is as if the black ink isn't color fast, but bleeds into the white paper, blurring letters. By the end of the first column, nothing makes sense. I know every word, but I don't understand what I just read. Meaning used to emerge from images and thoughts assembled out of light and dark, shape and space. Without entire lines held suspended in my mind, I feel stuck. So I back up and I try again. I try until the words blur. The blurring comes not from whatever has robbed me of reading, but from tears I blink back, because later my injured eye will hurt anyway and tears will make that pain worse. Reading takes so much concentration that my heart is pounding in my ears. I must stop. Momentarily, I wonder if everyone reads the way I remember it, scanning a page from top to bottom while dropping down into words running across it, quickly turning page after page, holding text behind my eyes and carrying it all forward in images and sounds. They build up into an undulating wave. I grab a hold and ride again and again, over and over. I have a memory of reading being effortless and quick. It was delicious. Classes felt straightforward, following the gist of a lecture, reading the blackboard, asking questions, taking notes. Now, 8 months after the collision, my reading is still muddy. I switch from textbooks to short stories, then newspapers, magazines, decreasing in sentence complexity and length until I get the hang of comprehending a page again. Then, inching my way, painstakingly back up the reading ladder. It will take months. It will never again be how it once was. It isn't only reading that suffers, but many skills that rely on words, symbols, and images. Even how I dream is affected. The more input coming at me, the quicker it gets tangled, so I'm limited to one mental task at a time. In classes now, as an instructor writes on a blackboard, turning around to emphasize some point, my notebook stays blank. All I can do is listen. Later, at home, I'll write down what I recall in longhand and on paper. I avoid the student computer lab where the overhead lights are too bright, and sometimes people talk. I can't concentrate. The screens torture my eyes. Writing by hand lets me glimpse something familiar, so I follow where it leads. When I'm using a pencil or a pen, forming letters into words or numbers into equations, it feels nourishing. Some invisible tingling current connects my brain with my hand, and the skin at my eyes tenses watchfully as the paper transforms with my efforts. Writing is rebuilding more than skills. It is giving me back parts of myself. That hand moving across the page, it feels detached. But I sense it's mine. as lines and swirls form letters and numbers, something resembling my own penmanship emerges. It looks pinched and ungenerous, but overall, I like what I see. It feels personal, new, and yet familiar. In elementary school, writing was taught on paper ruled with thick lines. We practiced basic cursive shapes like ovals and humps over and over. Teachers prized clear handwriting. It came easily to me then. By high school, a calligraphy pen was put in my hand. Proper lettering meant attending to spacing. The contrasts of paper and ink on a page matter. All that practice gives me a good place to start again. Many things discourage me, and yet, despite being tiring, writing is different. Class notes, journal entries, to-do lists, and letters. The benefits of writing are palpable, and so I write. My book is a story within a story. It is about cognitive resilience. It is about brain trauma. The interlocking stories tell of discoveries made in neuroscience since the 1990s and why you should care. They tell of navigating life with an injured brain since then, too, and what it reveals. Mental actions like thinking, perceiving, and learning are not fixed for a lifetime, but can change. The human capacity for cognition feels vast to me, intriguing. Cognitive changes can accrete slowly, deliberately, or change can happen instantaneously, accidentally. In my case, doctors offered very few guidelines about what activities to avoid or to pursue. This lack of information was disquieting. Should I be sleeping or not? Reading, not being able to grasp abstractions was a bigger concern to me than physical pain. Because I was a graduate student, thinking about ideas and objects not physically present was my bread and butter. It took dropping out of classes, months of extra sleep, and much trial and error for a meaningful life to emerge.